What do you say, Lighthouse? It is with great excitement that I get to announce today's guest speaker. His name is Jeff Welsh, and he is a dear friend of mine. You've probably seen Jeff as he's the director of production here at our GB location, as well as he works in tandem with his wife, who oversees our info station, Miss Sandy. Jeff and Sandy have been with us for approximately 5 years now, and from the first day, they have been such committed servants that if they were to leave, I would leave with them. They have been nothing but an asset. They now lead several small groups. They're committed to serve every Sunday, and they have a message of forgiveness of unparalleled fashion. I assure you, you are in for a great blessing as Jeff brings his message. So would you please join with me in giving Jeff Welsh a warm Lighthouse welcome.
Good morning, church. I am excited to be here with you this morning. July 3rd, 2016. Happy Independence Day. For all you who are veterans or who, for those who are serving out there right now, we just thank you. Deep hearts of gratitude for your service. Yeah. 28 years ago today, I married the woman of my dreams. Sandy Welch, right here on the front row. Love you, dear. So this is an exciting time for me. Sandy and I have two kids. Eric is married to Hannah. They live out in Hawaii, and they're on a 3-year honeymoon. thanks to the government, you guys, the taxpayers, paying their way over there. But my daughter, Amay Sutton, and Ben attend here at Lighthouse Church. May works with the Lighthouse Kids, and Ben is right back here in the sound booth making me look good. At least he better be. But without further ado, let's get right to prayer and get started. Father, we just come before you humbly, grateful so much for your grace upon us, Lord. I pray that you would just open up the hearts of each one of us to hear what you have to say to us this morning, and that nothing come from my mouth that is not of you. In Jesus' name we pray. So how many of you like receiving something that you didn't expect, something you don't expect? There's a few, okay. Okay, now if we were at the Bay Sox Stadium, and I was here in a what's the character's name? Louis. Yeah, if I was here in a Louis costume, throwing out T-shirts, you'd all be standing and trying to get my attention. You like the free stuff, right? A few years ago, I was over at Bay Sox Stadium, saw Sammy there, and Sammy had his boy with him, and Louis comes up and he's on the dugout, and Sammy turns to Asher and he says, "I'm going to get you one of them T-shirts." And he's jumping up and down and carrying on, and he's jumping up on the bleachers and doing everything he can. His son's looking up at him like, "Have you lost your mind?" A little while later, I left, and some guy approached me and saw my LH T-shirt, and he says, "Oh, you from Lighthouse? Isn't that your pastor down there?" I'm like, "I don't know that guy." "No, this? Oh, thrift shop." You know, I thought it meant Longhorn. I like steak. He's like, "What's he doing down there now?" "I don't know." "Oh, well, at least he did something good. He got his son a foul ball." But, Sammy, that afternoon posted this picture of him getting his son a foul ball. But seriously, we all like receiving something for nothing, right? I'm gonna make this a little more interesting. Wake you guys up. How many of you like receiving something free? All right, now we're talking. Oh, here's somebody coming up. You're too eager. Go sit down. I'm going to see how far this is going to go. Oh, it goes to my wife. How do you like that? Did you have to do anything to receive that? You didn't do anything but pick it up, right? That's grace, undeserved favor. Okay, that's grace. Now, Sandy, if you would, stand up. And now just throw it behind you. Now, we'll just call that paying it forward. Okay, she received grace, and now she's giving grace to somebody else. Now, the person who got that, they now receive grace. And you can give grace to somebody else. You can pay it forward. You can put it in the offering plate, or you can have lunch on me. All right. So, grace. Unearned or undeserved favor. Now, grace is often misunderstood, confused with mercy. So I want to unpack that a little bit. Grace is when you get something that you don't deserve. Okay? She got something she didn't deserve, both of them. Didn't earn it, not deserved. Next, mercy is when you don't get something that you do deserve. It's kind of two sides of the same coin. One more word, justice. When you get exactly what you deserve, okay? So in order to really understand grace, we really have to understand how these three work together, and we really need to understand the word deserve, because it really breaks down to that. So what we need to see first is what we really deserve is death. Where's Sammy? Sammy, give me a say what. Now, he's back there. Everybody, say what like Sammy does. Say what? Yeah. If I do that too much, I'll lose my voice. Sammy hasn't gone through puberty yet, so he can do that. But Scripture tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, we all understand wages. When you go to work, you do something, and for that, you earn a paycheck. How many of us would go to work if we didn't earn a paycheck, right? We get wages. Well, this says the wages of sin is actually death. But praise God, the verse doesn't stop there. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life. So the wages of sin is death. That's justice, getting exactly what you deserve. The gift of God is eternal life. That's grace. Getting exactly what you don't deserve. Okay? Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, that's all good, but really, I haven't done anything that deserves death. I mean, that's a little extreme. Well, let's go back to Genesis. Adam and Eve. What was the very first sin? God said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They ate. Their sin was just flat-out disobedience, right? How many of us disobey on a daily basis? All of us, right? God said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. The penalty for that sin was death. And in the context there, the Greek word that said, that we translate, you will die, it was actually in the present continuous tense that says, and dying, you will die. It didn't mean you'll die the second you do it, because critics say, you know, they didn't die. Well, no, you will begin to die. Dying, you will die. And we see that. We also see in Genesis 3:21, we see the very first death that was a direct result of their sin. Genesis 3:21 tells us that God made a covering for them out of an animal skin. That covering was because they had shame because they recognized their nakedness after eating of that tree. Think about it. God made a covering out of an animal skin. God shed the blood of an animal that day. Everything we see through the Old Testament the sacrificial system that the Jews went by. You saw sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. That's because the forgiveness of sin requires the shedding of blood. God shed the blood of the first animal in Genesis 3:21. He made a covering for their sin. This is Jeff talking, not Scripture. Scripture doesn't tell us what kind of animal. I bet you it was an unblemished lamb. And that pointed forward to our Savior, the Lamb of God. Now, the reason most people don't understand grace and are lost today is because they really don't understand the magnitude of their sin. We kind of have to have an understanding of sin to realize why we need death. why it deserves death, rather. Sin is anything that displeases God. So sin might be you do something wrong that displeases God. You say something that displeases God. You fail to do something that displeases God. God said, love your neighbor as yourselves. How many of us love our neighbors as we love ourselves? Now, I can love me all day long, but people loving you, that's hard. You know, it's difficult sometimes loving your neighbor. And you're definitely not doing it on a daily basis as you love yourself. So that's something that we fail to do that we should be doing, and that's sin. But the scariest thing for me is where Jesus said, if you hate a man in your heart, you have already committed murder. If you lust after a woman, you've already committed adultery. Those are sins of thoughts. Scientists say we think 10,000 thoughts in a given day. That I just shudder to think how many of my thoughts in a given day might displease God. But yet our thoughts can be sin. Jesus pointed that out to us. So I would venture to say that many of us, we might sin. I mean, just leaving this parking lot, some of you guys are going to have 15 sinful thoughts just when somebody in an LH bumper sticker cuts you off, right? I can't imagine driving to work on any given day to Baltimore or D.C., that commute. How many of your thoughts are sinful then, huh? Just think about the number of thoughts we might have in a day. I would venture to say we probably all sin 100 or more times a day just because of our thoughts, all the things we do, fail to do, and then our thoughts. So let's say we try to work our way to leading a better life. We're trying to turn our life around. And we work really hard, and we get our sins down to maybe 10 sins a day. We work a little harder, get them down to 5 sins a day. A little harder, down to 3 sins a day. Sounds pretty good. Heck, with 3 sins a day, 2 of those are probably in my head. You'd never know anything about those. One of them, maybe I failed to love my neighbor as myself. I'd look like a walking angel, but yet I got 3 sins a day. That adds up to over 1,000 sins in a year. Average lifespan, 75-80 years. 75-80,000 transgressions against God's law. That's being as good as I can be, and I probably can't be that good. So that leads us to the question, what's the standard? Scripture tells us, be therefore mediocre. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. All right, show of hands. How many have achieved that? I had one taker. He took it back really quickly. Yeah, none of us have. Scripture tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us meet the standard of perfection. We have a God who's a just God, and he tells us he must punish our sin. Just as a judge in a courtroom must punish the guilty, or lawlessness would take place everywhere if they weren't punishing the guilty, right? God is a holy and just God. He must punish our sin. But he's also a loving God. Scripture says God is love. And praise the Lord, he gave us a way out. So what we deserve is death. What we don't deserve is forgiveness. But he offers that to us through Jesus. Jesus offers us an atonement and forgiveness for our sins. Atonement, that word atone, if you break that up, it's A-T-O-N-E, at one. Jesus, through his sacrifice on the cross, reconciled us to God and made us at one with him. He atoned for our sins in our place. I think this is a beautiful illustration. I got the biggest book that I could find for this illustration because this book represents the record book of my life. The front cover is my birth certificate. The back cover is my death certificate. The words on every page are my minute detail of everything I've ever done, everything I've ever said, everything I've ever failed to do, every thought, every sin, and it's inseparable from my life. And here I am, and here's my sin, and my sin separates me from God. Scripture says that God can't even look upon sin. He's perfect and holy, and our sin is like filthy rags. But Scripture tells us, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds, we are healed. Look here for a minute while I finish this. Scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. But God, the Father, laid on him, Jesus, the iniquities of us all. Jesus' final words on the cross was one of the words that he used was tetelestai. It's a Greek term. And that term means paid in full. The debt is paid. And it was a commercial term that was used when you wrote across a debt that the debt had been paid, tetelestai. And that's what he said on the cross, tetelestai. And what he was saying there, just like we have a paid in full stamp, he was saying, you're lying, paid for. You're cheating, paid for. Your selfishness, your deceit, paid for. Your lust, your adultery, paid for. Your hate, your murder, paid in full. Christian, you are forgiven. When you truly understand your sin, you really understand grace. Now, Jesus was buried. He took our sins to the grave. Scripture says he kicked our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. That God would remember them no more. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is something so difficult for so many of us. Some of us can't accept that God would forgive us. We hold on to our debt, onto that sin debt ourselves. We hold on to the guilt and shame. It's forgiven. many of us have a hard time forgiving others. And again, it goes back to you and I and our relationship with the God of heaven. When you realize your sin is absolutely no different than someone else's sin, no matter how they've hurt you, it's our responsibility to forgive. Forgiveness isn't merely sucking it up and stuffing it down deep inside somewhere, which is what many of us think forgiveness is. Typically, when we do that, it just causes bitterness, resentment. Sometimes that can grow to hate. My definition of forgiveness is having a genuine compassion for those who have wronged us, enough to forgive them as we have been forgiven, instead of allowing anger toward them to eat away at us. When we become bitter, it does absolutely nothing to them. It just eats us up. And then them going on with their happy little lives, couldn't care less if you've forgiven them or not. And what does that do? It just makes you more bitter and more angry, right? I know some of you are thinking, yeah, but I can't forget what he or she did. You don't know what my life has been like. You wouldn't forget either. And I agree, you may never truly forget, but sometimes the consequences of someone else's sin might linger. But there should be a change in your attitude, nevertheless. Forgiveness means, slide. All right, we'll take that. Get rid of all bitterness. Now go back. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you. That's what Paul says about forgiveness. Bitterness. So the next slide. Forgiveness, true forgiveness says, I won't talk about it. Consider it in the past. I won't bring it up in the future. And I won't cast blame, even if it's deserved. That's the hardest part, right? It sounds like, I forgive you. I will never use it against you, and I will not bring it up again. But true forgiveness also says, I won't seek vengeance. In Romans, Paul says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. It's not our place to judge somebody else and take revenge on them and seek vengeance and wish bad on somebody else. How many of us, think when somebody wrongs us, you'll get yours? Get backs or what? Yeah, that's kind of our attitude way too often. God says, it's mine. Leave that alone. The Lord said in his model of prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, it was actually his model of prayer, teaching us how to pray, not what to pray. But he said, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses, some translations say, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Is that what we really want? We want God to forgive us the way we're forgiving others? That's a hard word that Jesus gave us right there. Because if God judged me the way I often judge others, I stand condemned. But he offers his forgiveness. When we respond rightly, to Jesus, that is flat-out obedience. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, obey me. And that's a hard word. Sounds real easy, right? Especially when talking about forgiveness. If you love me, forgive others. But he does something beautiful around this verse. Go to the next slide. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And of course, he's saying anything within my will. Well, obviously, if we're asking him to help us forgive others, that's within his will. He's already commanded us to do it. And then he follows up, if you love me, keep my commandments, with, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He promises us the Holy Spirit to abide with us and help us too. He's with us through this, folks. He's not just giving us an order and saying, go. He's like, I'm here with you. The Holy Spirit who abides in you, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, can help you forgive another. There's a story of a young man, 7 or 8 years old. His parents had divorced many years prior. And his mom was now married to another man, his stepfather. His name was Doug. And this guy abused him regularly, physically, emotionally, verbally. He was cut down, told he was worthless. He was punched, kicked, thrown across the room, knocked off of chairs, thrown into walls. Year after year, he endured. About age 12, he came to know the Lord. And his mom, knowing the pain he was going through, but just as afraid of Doug as he was, and afraid that if she ever took her kids away from him, that the ramifications of that might be worse than what they were going through. She shared with him Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This young man held on to that verse. And another 7 or 8 years went by. He's now 15 years old. And one day, he had just finally gotten to the point he said, I can't take it anymore. He was thinking, where are you, God? And he got off the school bus a little early before his house and went up on top of a bridge. And he was standing on the edge of a guardrail overlooking stone and rocks below, rushing waters. And he stood there and looked up to the heavens. And he screamed, I can't take it anymore. Just then, he heard the sound of a Volkswagen Bug coming off in the distance down this dirt road. He couldn't see it. He got down off the guardrail, started walking away from the sound. The only person he knew that had a Volkswagen Bug was his pastor. As the car approached him, he heard this voice say, can I take you home? Yes, Pastor. He went around the back of the car, wiping his eyes, hoping the pastor didn't see that. Got into the car, and the pastor said, good thing I came along to give you a ride. He's thinking, you have no idea. They approached the house, mile up the street, police cars everywhere. He's wondering, what's going on? Gets out of the car. His mom rushes up, grabs hold of him. He says, what's going on, Mom? She said, Doug called me at work today. He said, I'm leaving you. And if I ever see Jeffrey again, I'll kill him. I'm Jeffrey. But what God showed me that day is he will never leave you or forsake you. While I'm up on that bridge, shaking my fist to God, he's already taken care of it. Doug was gone, out of my life. Yeah, I had to look over my shoulders for a number of years, wondering if I'd ever see him again, threatened my life. But hallelujah, he was gone. My pain and daily suffering was gone. I had convinced myself over the next few years that I forgave him. I can forgive him. I'm bigger than that. Then one day, I woke up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night with this image plastered into my head. This image was me sitting on some porch, I have no idea where, drinking a glass of iced tea, sweet tea, it was that vivid, and Doug was sitting to my right. And my words when I woke up were over my dead body. Does that sound like the voice of somebody who's forgiven someone? No. And those words haunted me. A couple weeks after that, I was an electrician, and I was heading to a job site. And as I approached where the house was supposed to be, I'm looking at the mailboxes, and I get to this one mailbox, and I see his initials and last name on the mailbox. And I look at the house. That's the porch. Shook me to my core. I raced down the road. And lo and behold, the house I was working in was right next door. Oh, great. This is lovely. I didn't get much work done that day. I left there. And so now I had these words that were haunting me, and now I've seen the house. A couple weeks after that, I'm driving down the highway, and I'm going to be going within a mile of his house. And that little small voice inside me was saying, go. And I was just saying, no. I ain't going there. I was on my motorcycle, and I felt like I had this argument with God in my head. You know, it was just this small voice telling me it's time, and me just saying, absolutely no way. I can't do it. I turned down that road. And as I approached the house, there he was sitting on that porch. And beside him was his wife. And two kids in the front yard playing badminton, two young girls. I thought, well, that's safe. I pull in the driveway on my bike, thought about leaving my helmet on just in case. Took the helmet off and said, Lord, it's in your hands. Walked down the driveway, turned up the sidewalk, and there was a hand outstretched. Doug said, Jeffrey, it takes guts to be here. Come up and meet my wife. I walked up to the porch, and after about 30 seconds of small talk with her, she said, can I get you a glass of iced tea? Yeah, I guess. I think I'm supposed to. And then she said, go ahead, sit in my chair. Yeah, that's the one. I knew that was coming too, right? Oh, goodness. And so I sit in the chair, she goes inside, and Doug says, Jeffrey, what are you doing here? Moment of truth. I said, Doug, I know we never saw eye to eye. You never liked me. I didn't like you much either. But I'm here to tell you. I'm here to ask you if you would forgive me for anything I ever did, anything I ever said to disrespect you, or put a wedge between you and Mom, because he always blamed me for everything that happened between them. I took some of that, okay. And then I said, and I forgive you for everything. Seemed like a lifetime before she came out with that tea. She comes out, hands me the glass of iced tea, and she says, I'll let you guys talk. And she walked back inside. I took a sip of that iced tea, and it was right then that I saw that image. And for the first time I knew what that image really was. It was the moment that I fully understood the grace that had been given me, that I was now paying forward. I recognize my sin is absolutely no different than his. We're the same. We both stand judged. We both stand condemned in our sin. And only with Christ are we free from that. Christian, learn to pay it forward. If you've tasted grace, you've tasted God's forgiveness, it's time to give it away. Give it to others. I'm going to ask the worship team to come out. Maybe you've never tasted forgiveness here. Maybe you're sitting here and you're like, I just can't even comprehend what you're saying. What you might be asking is, how do I receive his forgiveness? Slide there. His grace is received by faith. Scripture says, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. If we could get to heaven by our works, by doing good enough, by doing more good than bad, if God graded on a curve, we'd be in heaven boasting about it. It's not what it's about, folks. We deserve death. But by God's grace, he gives us forgiveness and eternal life. Picture yourself in a small rowboat, miles offshore. The wind's blowing you further and further out, and you're trying to get back. You're rowing as hard as you can, trying to get back. You feel helpless. All of a sudden, you notice your feet are getting wet. There's holes showing up in the bottom of your boat. You see water seeping in, and the more you look, the more holes you see. And now it's getting absolutely critical. You're sinking. You don't know what to do. Feels hopeless. You're just like, God, help me. All of a sudden, another boat shows up right beside you. It's Jesus. Jesus says, those holes, that's your sin. Your sin is sending you to absolute destruction. Your only way out is to get in my boat. Trust in me. Trust in what I did for you on the cross. Your pride gets in the way. No, I think I got this. I brought provisions. Everybody has duct tape, right? You're duct taping the holes. Of course, your pride is more sin, more and more holes showing up. You're just sinking faster now. Jesus says, time is short. Like, well, I don't know what to do. Maybe I'll just stick one foot in. Maybe at the last minute, I'll be able to jump in before I go down. Jesus says, that ain't the way it works. It's all or nothing. Trust in me or trust in yourself, because that's what you're trusting in right now. If you're on the fence, you're trusting in yourself. Trust in me. If you're here today and you're sitting on the fence, you got one foot in your boat. If you're in the church, then you're sitting on the fence. You're dabbling in it. You're trying Jesus out. It's time to stop trusting in yourself. Trust in Jesus. Jesus says this Independence Day can be different. Stop depending on your good works to get you there. Stop depending on yourself. Stop being prideful. You can be independent on that if you depend on me. Stand with me as we pray. Father, speak to our hearts now. Probably everybody in this room can relate to not being able to forgive another. There's somebody we have on our minds right now that we can think of that we have not forgiven. Lord, give us compassion to that person. Let us see them in the same light that you've seen us. Sinful, but worthy of our compassion in the same way you have seen us, worthy of your compassion. Convicted by our sin, but no different than the other person. Father, help us with your Holy Spirit to forgive others. Father, for that person who's in this room right now, or in the sound of my voice, Lord, who doesn't know you, who never tasted true forgiveness, let them climb aboard your boat today and understand true independence from our sin, total dependence on you. Give them the courage, Lord, after this service, to come forward and speak to somebody that can show them for sure, forever, how they can be a child of God, that they will be going to heaven with you for all eternity. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' precious name.